This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Oh, Cervantes and Hamilton going to each other and the whiskey.
We have to fight.
With Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Knocheck was just totaled by an Iowa State player against the board.
I think it was by Hamilton.
On WGR.
Really a pretty unnecessary hit by Hamilton. Hamilton is still awfully mad. He's being held back.
Number 17, Paul Hamilton. 2 minutes for charging, 5 minutes for fighting, and a misconduct.
Sports Radio 550.
Guys like, oh, that was really awful. And she's over there like, I think it was Hamilton. Paul Hamilton in a moment. Coverage of the NHL trade deadline on WGR brought to you by Ray Lax Honda. Ray Lax, we got this. By Jim's Steakout. Don't lace up for good food. Get it delivered at jimsstakeout.com. And by Firth Jewelers. Go forth to Firth. Paul, what kind of day are you having?
Good. I love this day. It's long, and it's, you know, sometimes boring, sometimes not. You know, there was really nothing going on all day, and then right at 3 o'clock, a bunch of trades came down, you know.
We've seen that before.
Yeah, that's the way it always works. They were still coming down at 3:30 when we hooked on with Adams, and I think there might have been another one by Detroit. It came maybe 10 minutes after that. So,
Paul, is the Hall trade happening when it did interesting to you and not one of these last-minute things?
No, I always look at it the other way. So the people look at this obviously one way or the other at both ends. I think if you wait too long, sometimes, all right, well, Boston's interested. And now we find out Boston was the only team Hall would go to. Well, if you wait and just think, well, can I get more out of the Bruins? All of a sudden the Bruins may say, you know what? Maybe we'll go see what Hoffman they wanted in St. Louis for Hoffman. Or maybe we'll get involved somewhere else with somebody else. And then you're sitting there holding the bag going, all right, we didn't, you know, get anything for it. And then there's others who feel that if you wait until 2:53, the Bruins will be sweating and they will give you, Adams wanted a first-round pick, which I don't blame him for asking for, but I never – Bulldog and I talked about this a lot last week. I never in a million years figured they would get a number one pick for him. But I would definitely ask for it, that's for sure. And now that I find out that Boston was the only team Hall would go to, you're definitely not getting it. So it didn't surprise me at all. It came down just after midnight. Not the latest I've ever gotten a trade. I got a trade call at 1:45 a.m. on, I believe it was Chris Gratton. And Briere wasn't too far behind that either. They both happened very, very late. 1:45 is the latest I ever got a trade call from the Sabres in the morning.
So how about the fact that Lazar, I mean, not that it's a huge deal here that he is included, but it seems a little odd to me that there needed to be a sweetener. Or do you think the Sabres wanted to get rid of $800,000 because they were bringing in 1.6 in the form of Bjork?
No, it's the other way. The Bruins couldn't have done the deal. The Bruins right now have $29,000 as cap space, according to Cap Friendly. So they couldn't have done the deal without Bork leaving and Lazar coming in. And they couldn't have done the deal without, you know, only paying for $4 million a Hall salary. So, and the Sabres, Adams said that they targeted Bork. All right, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But that was the Bruins couldn't do the deal without it. I mean, whether the Sabres targeted Bork or not doesn't really matter.
Right.
Because,
well,
as I said, with $29,000 worth of cap space, they couldn't have done it without switching that money.
Well, sure, but they would have been better off if they didn't take in $800,000 in the form of Lazar, though, right? Like, you could have just made the trade for Bjork for Hall and the pick, and, like, Lazar only adds to their bottom line. I don't know if they find him that valuable that they needed to have him there, but it's a little odd to me that they had a throw-in.
They might have wanted him. I Lazar's the type of guy, do I think he'll be in Boston's lineup if they're healthy for the playoffs? No. But I think he's a guy that for depth, that, all right, you have an injury, put Lazar in. I think that's a good person to put into your lineup. So it wouldn't shock me at all if the Bruins wanted him for that reason, if they could put him in the lineup, add a little depth to it, and he'll give you a little grit and that type of thing. But so that wouldn't surprise me if they asked for him.
Adams talked about his limitations in this process because of Hall's contract and talked like it had to be Boston. Hall himself talked similarly that this is where I want it to be. And generally, that is how you would expect these guys to talk after a trade like that. Hall is not going to talk about, well, I wanted to go to Chicago, but... So you're saying it here in our conversation, like, it was only Boston, like, it's a fact.
It is a fact. Kevin Adams confirmed that, and Hall basically said that. Hall didn't come right out and say it. Adams did. By last night, Hall had basically said it's Boston. And then he had to... From that point on, that's the only team that he could deal with. So, and that's, I guess that was the trade-off as far as signing Hall, to get him on a one-year deal. The Sabres wanted a one-year deal. So in order to get a one-year deal in return, Hall got a no-movement clause. That's what Adams talked about.
Hall also said that he was close to signing with Boston before.
Yes. Yes, he was. That was the other team that he wanted to sign for, and he was very close, and it didn't come together, and he right away said, but he said this about Buffalo too, that he would be very interested in staying there. But, you know, that's something he –
That's also what you always hear.
Now. Yeah. he said it about Buffalo. Now he said it about Boston.
Everybody says it about everywhere, usually. Yeah. Like,
right.
Sure.
And we all just sit out here and roll our eyes. Like, okay, sure.
I mean, whatever, right.
Yeah, right.
Well, Paul, how about the overall, right? Like, so Montour is gone. Stahl, of course. There are five new draft picks. None is a first-round pick. And I guess that doesn't surprise you. But, like, how would you grade the whole effort?
Montour, I think that's about what I thought they were going to get. As I said, I had no illusion at all. I was actually thinking that Hall may only get him a third. And that seems like, from what some folks have been saying today, some insiders, that's what was being offered to Adams. And I guess Boston getting pasted by the Capitals yesterday 8-1 got Don Sweeney thinking a little bit that maybe he needs to up that to a second round pick to get this done, because, you know, he wanted to get it done. So as far as Montour goes, you know, people said, well, how come, you know, Montour's better than Stahl, how come you got more for Stahl? Well, you didn't keep any money in the Montour deal. You did keep money in the Stahl deal. So yeah, I think to keep the money, they wound up getting the extra fifth round pick out of it. But that's about what I thought they'd get for Montour, was a third-round pick. And Stahl, I didn't know how people were going to value him, because he's 36 years old. You know, was it because he was playing on the Sabres he played so poorly, or has he hit a wall? And the early returns say he's hit a wall. He did score an overtime goal that most NHL goaltenders would stop. And he's been, I think, -5 in the next three games, and they've lost them all. So... It appears that his play has not improved all that much in Montreal. Maybe he's just hit a wall with his age.
We're reviewing trade deadline day with Paul Hamilton joining us on our Wester Hotline. Paul, I know you know from our conversations last week, one of my hopes for the deadline was something as far as goaltending goes, whether that was trading for someone under contract, like one of the Columbus guys, for next year, I mean, and maybe decreasing the leverage that Linus Ullmark might have over you. You know, I thought even if they could make a trade for a goalie, then fine, trade Linus Ullmark at the deadline and see what you can get for him. But none of that happened, and they didn't get an extension done with Ullmark, and there's some reporting today that indicates, despite the Sabres, you know, feeling like they want to keep this player, that he is going to look at the market when free agency comes. So, like, what do you make of the lay of the land at goaltending? Because it feels like they're in a very not so ideal spot.
Well, Adams called signing Ullmark a priority, and I believe him because he didn't trade him. So he wants him around, and he wants to continue talking to him, both him and his agent, and make it a priority. But you know, I don't even know how comfortable I would be with Thatcher Demko's contract, 5 for $25 million. And if you're taking unrestricted free agency away from Ullmark, he's at least, I would think, getting that and probably asking for more. You know, who knows? Is he asking for $6 million? Is he asking for $7 million? Just say, well, you know what? We can just go to unrestricted free agency. So, you know, ask for the moon and see what happens. But I think that contract signed by Thatcher Demko really hurts the Sabres when it comes to trying to figure out Linus Ullmark, because, you know, I would have hoped maybe you could get him under $5 million, but I don't think you could right now. So, you know, they know what the parameters now right now for what at least Ullmark is looking for. And I'm sure Allmark's camp knows what the Sabres are looking for. I think maybe they would have tried to move him if Allmark's camp would have said, you know what, that's it. We're not going to do this. Yeah. Bye. You know, so at least there must be a little bit of, all right, we'll listen, type of attitude coming from their mm-hmm. camp. But as you mentioned, when you talked to, you know, when you started talking about Ullmark, he holds all the cards. I mean, he's in charge of this right now. And if the Sabres were to get another goaltender, or, you know, Ullmark gets out in the market and finds out he can't get what he thought he could get, then, you know, he might circle back to the Sabres. But he's been in this organization for 6 years as far as playing professionally with either the Amerks or the Sabres. He knows what this organization is about. So, you know, my thought is, do you want to keep going here?
Yeah. Listen, I've been rooting for them for almost 50, and I mean, I feel like six could be enough for you to just be like, these six, where you just be like, I don't know, I can. What else is out there? I mean, just.
I mean. And it's not just losing, it's horrible losing, you know, losing that just beats your soul out of you. And, you know, he's been a part of all of that. And he's in the locker room. He knows what players are disgruntled and what players aren't and what players may be leaving. And he doesn't know who the coach is going to be. And they, you know, they got a brand new general manager who's never done the job. So you don't know if he's up for the job or he's not. You got to see about that. They gutted their hockey department, which now they decided that was a mistake. So now they're going to rebuild that. So you're looking at everything around you. But what is the incentive to stay unless the Sabres drastically overpay him, which I think is a huge mistake?
Well, you know, as probably it sounds from most of our conversations, it's kind of a dark place. You can't really trade Taylor Hall for what you want to get for him. You can't trade anybody for that because guys aren't doing well. Hall, I mean, there's lots of good numbers here, but I don't have goals. So if I can't get a guy like that to score, I'm in a tough place. And plus, he's going to put the clamps on me as to who I can talk to. You know, what's the way out? What is the way out of this? Probably not these draft picks that they picked up in the last week, even, or 2 weeks. It's probably just getting more of these, whether it's these picks or any picks, right. Making more decisions that are right. Putting guys in the right spots in the lineup, on the roster, and just growing that. Whether you have to add to your front office, most people would tell you that that's important, then you do. But whatever that takes. There should be no financial limitations. If I may say so, it seems like the people who own the team should be able to figure out how to get there. And so you just have to keep trying. I mean, it's a deadline where you're not going to do, as we saw it happen, you're not going to do as well as you want because it's just bleak. And there are reasons to bet against any of these guys.
Well, first and foremost, they got to get this coaching thing right. Because we just saw what bad coaching does. I mean, this team is better, yeah. Marketably better since the coach has changed. So that, I think, first of all, if this organization wants to be better, they cannot afford to have another bad coach. You just have them coming in the door one by one. And that has to stop. So that's the first thing right there. He's got to get this assistant GM thing right. And from what he said today, he's got the guy that he wants. I'm wondering if the guy wants to come. You know, it seems like they've been in, quote, intense negotiation in the past week or so. Well, you know, does he want to show up or doesn't he or what?
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, Paul, they've been talking about, you know, rebuilding, you know, putting the hockey department back together. You know, I'm glad to hear it, but some sign of it actually taking place would be nice. You know, there's still sort of status quo here. And, you know, I recognize there were other things that were more important going on, namely this trade deadline. But, boy, I'd like to see some names and faces added over there.
Yeah, and he's got his guy, but you know something's holding it up. So I don't know if the guy doesn't want to go, or if he's trying to convince him, or what the holdup is. But they need to hire scouts. He said they're going to be hiring more scouts and doing those types of things. But for me, this coach has to be right, because you know you can have good players, and if you have the wrong coach, you know you're going to be nowhere. So they've got to get this right.
Paul, what about the update on Jack Eichel?
Eichel is a little bit better, is the way, you know, they've been, as you know, extremely secretive about it. He recently saw doctors, and Adams called it a slight improvement from where he was at. So, but he didn't want to talk much more about that. Now, at least Adams put it out there that, you know, before it's like, well, yeah, we think we're going to get him back. It's now we don't know. Yeah. We don't know if we're going to get him back for this season. And he said there are going to be discussions with doctors in the coming days. And in the next couple of days, they should have, with those conversations, know what the next steps are. And then he said he will be more transparent with that information once they have it. So I don't know, depending on what he hears, if maybe we'll hear something this week or next week as far as, you know, what type of injury it is, where we're going to go from there, and that all those types of things.
All right, Paul.
Yeah, it very much sounds to me like for the first time, like that maybe the nature of this injury, you know, whatever treatment and rest maybe is you know, we got to see if that helps heal it, make progress, and if it doesn't, then maybe there's some other, you know, maybe more serious, drastic, time-consuming outcome that could be possible. I it feels to me like they haven't had their hands entirely around a timeline yet themselves, which is why they're not sharing anything. That's how Adam sounded to me today, Paul.
Yeah, and it didn't sound to me like there's, I don't know, I'm not real optimistic we'll see him in this the rest of the season.
No, same here.
Four weeks left.
Yeah. I'm not real optimistic at all that. Yeah. And you know, somebody might say, "Well, has he played his last game as a Sabre?" Well, we'll see about that. As far as I know, he has. And people I've spoken with, there has been no request at this time to be traded. But once you get to the off season and you have another season of just horrendous losing, who knows where that could go?
Paul, thank you. I look forward to many more conversations with you.
Hope you enjoyed your vacation.
I did. Yes, it was hot and sunny, and mostly very good.
It was hot and sunny here too.
I know, that stinks. We booed that as a family.
I totally understand that. My wife and I used to go down to Florida around February or March or whatever, and it really kind of ruined the vacation when you heard, well, you know, it's 65 degrees back home instead of like it was 5 degrees back home, and you're sitting there in the sun.
That's right. My wife had in the car on speaker, she had her parents on the phone, and her father said, "It's 81 here today."
Yeah.
And she immediately said, "Well, it's 82 here." So take that, pops. We got you anyway. You're setting records back home, and we're still beating you.
Yeah, really.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
Take care, guys.
There you go. That's Paul Hamilton again on our Western Hotline. His appearance is brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
Big difference, 81 and 82. Got to savor.
Oh, yeah?
Got to savor. 100%. Got to savor it. It was great. Disney was impressively strict.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, masks, like the you park at Disney and it's a long distance to even the front
right.
of the park. So there'd be trolleys. When we went on Thursday, no trolleys. Like, that was all closed. So you're taking that long walk, and I just got out of the car with my mask like on my chin. And almost right away, someone was like, pull it up. And I saw lots of that. Like, Disney, wow. You could not – you go to Epcot, and you're there for the drinks. Am I the only one? I'm not the only one, right? I'm not the only one at Epcot there for the drinks. So you can drink your drinks, but you have to stop.
Yeah.
You can't walk and drink with your mask down. You have to stop, take a sip, pull it back up, keep walking. That's how they want it. In case you go.
All right, noted. Yeah, it's not likely. I'll be going. I don't know.
No hockey team there to go see?
Maybe someday I'm actually going to say this. Oh, my God. Sorry, it came to mind. Maybe someday as a grandparent.
Oh, yeah, that's probably the best.
Oh my
a lot
God.
Of walking.
Oh my God!
But that's got to be a great feeling.
You got something to say? That took so much out of me. Just
oh, okay.
Now. Just to say that, just to ponder that.
You're old enough.
I know.
Right, Joe? Bulldog would be a great grandpa, don't you think?
Oh, see.
Yeah, he would.
This is devastating.
You know what he would do? That's great. I mean, many things, but he'd be the grandpa who'd be like, call the son and say, why don't you drop him off with me for a day? And then Bulldog and the young child would just go to cool places. They would go to the zoo. They would go to get ice cream. They would just go to cool places. They would go to the sportsman's lounge. They would go to just the best, coolest, all Bulldog's favorite places. And the kid would have the best day of his life.
Yeah.
Plus, he's got a dog.
Yeah, right. Fred's very kid-friendly.
Right. I think this is a good idea. We will look for your calls next. Taylor Hall, among a few Sabres, traded. Hall, the biggest name, 803-0550. I think Taylor Hall is good. I think it's a great trade for Boston. I think a lot of teams should have wanted him. You know, you're hearing somewhat different at different times throughout the day. Paul feels different, so you know, at least to a point. But, I mean, this is a great move for Boston. So, what do you do if you're the Sabres? You just sort of take the best deal? That seems to be what they did. Anybody want to say they just shouldn't have taken it? You only want to go to Boston? How about no? And if you don't want to play for us, fine. But we got to keep our pride here. We're not just going to give these guys away because they have to go to Boston. 803-0550. Just throwing it out there as a possible take. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, this is WGR.
I've been the focal point on a lot of teams in my career, and I never made myself the focal point. That's just the situations that I was in. And, you know, the first chance that I got in free agency, you know, I went to Buffalo, a team that, you know, that had Jack Eichel, a player that I think is better than myself. I just wanted to be one of the guys. I wanted to be on a successful team. Ultimately, it didn't work out here in Buffalo. But going to Boston, you know, there's so many great players on that team, Hall of Famers, guys that have had just amazing careers that if I had anything like that at the end of my career, I'd be super happy with.
Taylor Hall, that's an interesting thing he said about kind of wanting to fit in, you know, like for his salary. I think you want more. I think you want a different attitude. I don't know. I might be drawing too big of a conclusion, mm-hmm. but he sort of talking here about looking forward to being able to blend. Coverage of the NHL trade deadline on WGR brought to you by Ralax Honda. Ralax, we got this. By Jim's Steakout. Don't lace up for good food. Get it delivered at jimsstakeout.com. And by Firth Jewelers, go forth to Firth. I think this is a rare thing. I'm going to be faster than Joe at something. Because Joe was right in the middle of that update when this came down. Let me see if you can hear it on my computer.
It was a hard decision. but the right decision for me and my family. And I'm honored and so proud to be retiring a Patriot.
I guess I missed the beginning.
Julian
Sorry.
Edelman.
Yep. Edelman posted his announcement that he's retiring. So you don't have to deal with that guy. The Bills don't have to deal with that guy anymore. How'd I do? Could you hear that pretty well?
Yeah. I did, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That was on Twitter. Source,
I'm wearing,
Twitter.
I'm wearing headphones. I mean, I don't know.
That helped?
Probably, yeah. It's hard to miss this kind of stuff when you got headphones on.
Yeah. Joe did say he was retiring, by the way.
I just did not
have the audio.
I got an update on my phone while I was going through my update from a fantasy football app.
Yeah, that's the same.
My news.
Believe it or not, same.
I trusted it enough to just read it right off the phone, too. Because, you know, you can get got sometimes. Like, there's fake reports out there that these apps will pick up. But it was already trending that way, it seems so.
Yep, that's right. What do you think of Julian Edelman, Bulldog?
I don't know. Big beard.
He could be dirty.
I mean, yeah.
It's good.
You know, good for him. I mean, he made a hell of a career for himself. I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, I'm not going to miss him if you're asking me that. But you know, he was not the biggest, strongest, fastest, whatever. But he carved out a hell of a career.
For sure, 7th round pick, quarterback in college in the MAC, right?
Yep.
Friend is telling me I'm being scolded. Never take the 219 from Pennsylvania. He's telling me. A terrible amateur mistake.
Oh, all right. Well, you've made this drive dozens of times.
I've driven up. Like, this was yesterday was Virginia up, and I've done that, whether it's Florida all the way or just from there lots of times. And you know what? I should know better. He's right. I accept this criticism wholeheartedly. He's right. What I don't do, I'm like this with sports to a fault sometimes. I just can't say no to the data. Like, I can't say no to the map.
Right.
The map is telling me this way is 5 hours and 40 minutes. That way is 5 hours and 49 minutes. Mm-hmm. I'm never going that way if it's 9 more minutes.
Yep.
9 more minutes. What is that? 340 minutes versus 349. And we're not going to, I have two kids. We're not going to stop at a bathroom and just like waste 9 minutes somehow.
No.
Figuring out what we want in our tacos. No. Like, just suck it up, Mike, and go the extra 9 minutes so that you're not driving like you are in the boat on the Truman Show and everybody's just trying to keep you from getting home.
Yeah. I drove to Corning and back Saturday to get Leo his first vaccination shot. And, you know, that's an interesting spot. And there's like three different, it's one of those things that gives you three choices, you know.
390.
Yeah.
What, 17, 219 or something maybe?
Yeah. No. I mean, fastest was 400 to 20A. And I've done this going to, like, Ocean City, Maryland for the first leg of the trip. 20A through down to Mount Morris and catch the 390 there.
Right.
Right? That's the fastest way. So coming back, I did the reverse of that, and it was the fastest suggestion. So I'm fine. But what I forgot is that 20A on a Saturday afternoon – One person can ruin your whole trip if they're choosing to go 53 miles an hour.
You can't pass.
Like, you gotta, what happens, and this has happened to me before on this road, there's just a line of people, and it's like it's too many people to pass, and you're just sort of stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, okay. You know, there are opportunities to pass, but there's not opportunities to pass 14 cars. You know,
right.
and if car one or two or three in the isn't interested in passing, then you're just in it for, you know, whatever. You're going 53 miles an hour, even though you could be going 70 probably.
Right.
you know. So that kind of sucked.
Well, I mean, you get these maps now. It's like Google, Waze, Apple. There's just numerous different services to tell you every little thing. They've got the Waze has the little faces of the cars around you. Like, it's just very appealing and fun almost. And I just, it's my way. Like, I do not want to risk, it's a risk to me, ignoring the data. But what's stupid to me is, like, I would make a difference over, like, 5 minutes.
Right.
Faster is faster. And that I should be able to divorce myself from. Like, it's the same thing in fantasy drafts. There's a lesson in this for me. What, there are lots of reasons, though, why I am this way and why I think it's right to be. So we're driving, this was in South Carolina. Oh my gosh, this happened on the way down 3-4 times. Virginia, where that big tunnel is as you cross into Virginia, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida line. This happened a few times. But for example, South Carolina. So we're on 95. Like Charleston down. We spent the night in Charleston, then down to Orlando. And 95, you've got, it's crowded. Like, people were all going there, it seemed, this weekend. 95, four lanes, whatever, still just packed.
Yeah, it's a holiday week, basically.
Right.
For kids.
Yeah, kids were off. So suddenly it says, get off here. And I looked at my phone, and it said to go straight would be an hour 40 minutes longer. Whatever was happening on 95 was going, if I subscribed to this, it was telling me it was going to be an extra hour 40.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I'm getting off. That's it. I think there are people who see that and still won't get off because they don't know where they are. And it's,
right.
You know, we took a road. It'd be hilarious if somebody actually heard me say this and knows where I was. Bees Creek Road was the name of the road. I might have been mixed up on, like, which one of these this was. But there was one time we got off on Bees Creek Road.
Okay.
And what do you want to see? You want to see other cars, not all of them.
Right, but some people doing the same thing you're doing.
You want to see however many cars it is get off to that tells you, yes, we're in the right, not everybody, but not nobody.
Right.
So one of those, we Bees Creek Road, we get off, and nobody goes with us. And it's like, it's not a dirt road, but it's like homes. Lots of churches, like every other house, every other building was a church, it seemed. So Bees Creek Road, we're just driving through, and it says, like, you know, 17 miles or something like that. And like, okay, this is what we're doing. Hope it was the right call. You don't know. You can't see the highway.
Right.
So you don't know. But it worked out okay. One of these times, not the same time, I think, get off, lots of cars do the same thing, and it's narrow. It's maybe like a 40 zone. But two lanes, of course, like, this is just not at all for use like this.
High-speed travel, right?
Yeah.
Lots, like, of volume.
Right. Right.
Yeah, no.
And we got, like, halfway on. It's always just like a little, you're a little nervous.
Uh-huh.
You're off the highway. You don't know where you are. You do not want to have a problem. We're, like, halfway on this little road, whatever it was. This is right near the Georgia-Florida border. And there was a crash that blocked traffic on that road.
Oh,
up ahead. So now we're cutting into, like, driveways almost. Like, it's just, you have to get off the road that you got on to get off the highway and then figure it out. So the technology is amazing, but there are, you know, just like when we try to predict sports, there are times when sort of most of the time, more often than not, I think, maybe by far, that's what I think is the case. It steers you right. But once in a while, this thing yesterday in Pennsylvania, we were ahead of it. We were ahead of the map, and we had a fire, and cars flashing their lights at us, turn around, you know, was the message, and we did, and that was probably right, too. That's a lot of driving with kids, too. That's a lot of driving.
I once ran into Little League World Series traffic on the way back from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
15?
Yeah. Williamsport?
Mm-hmm.
That was forever.
Really?
How could that? There couldn't have been that many people going. That was my comment, like, over and over for an hour. Like, how many people go to the Little League World Series?
Everybody, apparently.
It's a hell of a complex over there. They can fit a lot of people in there. So yeah. There's your answer.
Yeah. And nobody's from there, so maybe there's a little confusion baked in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've driven through that, like, at peak, like, during the Little League World Series a couple different times, driving to Maryland, driving to Ocean City, and once or twice we hit traffic. Right around there too, like, just game let out or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, stressful at times, but still a great trip. Okay, we'll get back to the Sabres next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Matsuyama Hideki, Masters を勝ちました。ついに日本人がグリーンジャケットに。
I know the music. I think we're speaking Japanese here. And because Bulldog or Brian told me late last night, I know who won. Yeah. Matsuyama.
Yeah, I think Brian told you.
Yeah, I didn't see any of the weekend. I saw a little bit Friday. Seemed like Friday high was, scores Thursday.
Friday was my best day.
Spieth and Thomas.
Yeah, they looked like they were going to be a real threat, and I was out Saturday. I mentioned I drove down to Corning in the middle of the afternoon, so I didn't get back until it was just about wrapping up on Saturday, and they were nowhere to be found. Like I mean, whatever. Spieth was six back. I don't know. It's like, damn, my day is over.
I only saw numbers, but it didn't look like it was too dramatic. Did Matsuyama have a tough time late?
It got a little tighter. I bailed out too. At one point it got, I think somebody got within two, but then immediately that got frittered away, and I think he only won by one.
One, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it did not feel dramatic at all when I turned it on yesterday at around, I don't know, when the Sabres game ended, 4:30, 5 o'clock. I got to the Masters then, and it didn't seem like there was any doubt about what the outcome was.
Yeah, I just wonder if I should know this, I guess. I wonder if he played for bogey. He would have known the deal because he would have been in the last group. And he bogeyed 18. He made a 2-foot putt to win it. Did he play for bogey based on like the scoreboard? Did he play the scoreboard?
Well, Schauffele was the drama at the end. He was a little. What was he at 9 under? He had a triple bogey on 16 after 4 straight birdies. Like there was momentum.
But Matsuyama was at 13 under at that point or 12.
Right, so
he was playing behind him.
Right, he still would have needed to come back.
Yeah,
but Schauffele on 16 was pretty bad.
That's the par 3.
Yeah. In the water, I think.
Twice? Mm. For a triple?
I think so. He got a triple. I know he hit it at least once in there.
Yeah,
that's at least that happened. You don't want to make a triple without hitting it in the water.
Right.
I just bailed out right. And then
I do that all the time, but duffed it. I think a pro golfer probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah. I played the hole just completely terrified of the water, and I made 6. I don't know. Well, good for Matsuyama. He's been picked in our little game several times before. I'd never won a major, but seems commensurate. Seems like a player through his career who he's not undeserving of a major championship. There it is. And I win $50 because you didn't pick him.
$50. Yep.
I love it even more. I'm even happier for the guy. I'm just glad you didn't win with Spieth.
Yeah, I'm not.
He's coming back. He's going to bounce back season.
He can win the Texas Open again. That's fine. We don't bet the Texas Open. Put that on my gravestone. We don't bet the Texas Open. All right. We didn't get back to the Sabres. We had a guy on hold, and then he hung up and just got into golf there. Joe played that music, and that was that. 803-0550 is the number. We'll look again after the update. Car crashes are bad. They can at least ruin a good day and worse cause serious, even lifelong injuries. If this happens to you, call Ramos and Ramos. Josh Ramos and his team of caring attorneys do things a little differently by treating each and every case equally. So when you have concerns or questions, you can rest assured Ramos and Ramos will speak up and stand up for you and your case, no matter how big or small. A car crash can throw your entire life into a tailspin, but with Ramos and Ramos, trying to get your life back to normal is just as important as winning your case. There's no cost on your part to talk and hear what they have to say about your case, so call today and get a first or second opinion about your personal injury. Schedule your free consultation at Ramos and Ramos by calling 810-6140. Online at ramosandramos.com, offices in Buffalo, Niagara Falls, Lockport, and Rochester. Ramos and Ramos, caring attorneys helping good people.